Donut Bag is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Your data is your business. Protect it with ExpressVPN for 3 extra months free with a 1-year package. Go to the link listed in my Twitter profile.
All right. So before we talk about the Steelers, we have to talk about the breaking news of today.
Yes, sir.
Okay. First of all, before we talk about the trades, it used to be that like the baseball trade deadline was exciting. Mm-hmm. The hockey trade deadline was exciting. I think NBA trade deadline was kind of exciting.
But
the NFL trade deadline used to be the most boring thing ever. Nobody ever made a trade. And right. Now there are more trades on today than ever.
Ever.
And it's crazy and it's exciting. I love stuff like that.
I believe Adam Schefter said 10 trades, and that's a record.
10 trades,
man. 10 trades. Goodness. And they were shooting left and right, between 1 and 2 o'clock? Yeah. That's incredible.
They just kept coming. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is, even the Steelers were trading. There was all kinds of talk about, are they going to trade Chase Claypool?
Right.
And I think everybody said the same thing. I think everybody said, mm-hmm. yeah, if you get a second round pick,
right,
then maybe it's worth it. Yeah. And they did with the Bears.
Happen. Yeah. And
it's, oh my goodness. And then they get a cornerback, mm-hmm. William Jackson III from Washington. And I think that's very interesting.
It is.
But what do you think it says about the team? They trade one guy and then they bring another guy in. It's not like they're giving up on the season, is it?
No, it really doesn't. I think there were a lot of waves and undertones with Chase Claypool that, from what I've heard other media types say, that he may have been a distraction in the locker room. And, you know, I didn't see him. I mean, the times that I was in there, I'd never seen him really say anything, you know. But those that were around more than me could probably have a right to say that they feel that way, you know. And also just the fact that this is, in my opinion, you know, they have enough at receiver where they could make a move like that. I didn't believe it was going to happen, or maybe I'm just very old school. And every time I hear someone jump at a trade, especially involving Pittsburgh, I just don't believe it's going to happen.
Right. Right.
You know, so maybe it was that case. But then when I saw it, I had to admit for about 5 seconds, I was a little bit surprised that it actually did take place. But even more surprised, like you said, that they get a second round pick. And it just goes to show how desperate Chicago was in getting him. And I heard Green Bay also was willing to give up a second round pick for him, too. So isn't that something?
That I think you just blew the whole cover off the thing. That was my question, is why would Chicago want Chase Claypool?
Yeah.
And maybe they wanted him because Green Bay wanted him. That was a talk of mm-hmm. like everybody was saying, it's like, obviously the Packers need to get another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And it made a lot of sense for them to trade for Chase Claypool. But then mm-hmm. eventually they ended up doing nothing.
Right.
But yeah, it's a really curious move by the Bears, because they traded Roquan Smith. They traded, I think they're you traded Roquan Smith to the Ravens. Mm-hmm. They traded their defensive end to last week to the Eagles.
Right, they traded him. Yeah.
And then they make a trade for a wide receiver. It's weird. It's weird. Yeah. But hey, whatever. It's a great deal for the Steelers, because if the Bears stink, and they probably will, that's a high second round pick, and that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah, and then you have a high second round pick, 2 second round picks overall, and it makes people even forget. I mean, that they gave up that fifth round pick. So I mean, it, you know. And we know fifth round picks aren't, you know what I'm saying? They aren't as huge. They have their role. They have their place, but they're not as huge, and it's not really considered a tremendous loss. But yeah, having 2 second round picks in today's game, And that's a bonus. And especially in Pittsburgh's case, because, you know, folks, you know, it's always a concern in the offseason. And truthfully, if they needed to use that for something, they could. But, you know, I don't think they're going to. I think maybe they're going to dip into the draft and do it like they are known to do it so they can get better, you know. But as far as getting William Jackson, I really believe that they're finally admitting the fact that the secondary right now just is, I hate to say it, just horrible, man. I mean, watching them on Sunday and watching Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown just continuously burn. In particular, I hate to say this, Akello Witherspoon. Burn him. Start calling him Interstate 25 after a while.
Yeah. It was clear they were targeting him and it was working. And yeah, that was sad. I don't know if I have the right person, but was William Jackson the same guy that the Steelers wanted back like 6 years ago, but the Bengals swooped in right in front of them and picked him up, and then the Steelers had to settle for Artie Burns?
Yep.
You're, is that the guy? Right.
That is him, 2016. Oh. Yep, that's exactly what happened. Oh. And, you know, and Pittsburgh is that type that if they ever have a chance to get somebody they couldn't get previously, prior, then they'll do it. Just like Minka Fitzpatrick, they scouted him and ended up with Terrell Edmonds because Miami told him so. I mean, yeah, so that's how they roll. So I'm hoping that, you know, his veteran experience can really make a difference to a secondary that needs it. It needs it bad because, you know, it's not my place to ever question anybody's effort, which I won't do, but it's just something's missing, man. You know, something's missing with this team. And it just seems like, you know, the air has been let out a few times. I mean, against Buffalo the first time and now against against Philly. I mean, I never believed that Pittsburgh really had a chance to beat Philadelphia. But if you're going to lose, you know, you lose.
Put up a fight. Out. Yeah, make it close, something like that. And they didn't. I mean, they are totally at a crossroads. Mm-hmm. We are just about at the halfway point of the season. They have a bye. And now we'll see where they go from here. Are they going to just give up? Are they going to put up a fight? Are they going to actually win some games? Mm-hmm. I don't know. That's a big question. That's going to be really interesting to see how this second half of the season develops.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see them going out like a lot of folks expect them to, or a lot of folks expect teams to do in this place. I mean, the last time they were 2-6 was in 2006, which was Bill Cowher's final season. And we thought that team was bad, but then they turned around and finished 6-2. Obviously a lot more talent, a lot more seasoned veterans with that team. But, you know, we've seen it when a team seems like, and again, I'm not saying this to be mean or anything like that, worried when it seems like the heart may not be there, and then all of a sudden you get a spark. I mean, we all go through that in our lives, you know, or maybe we're so tired that we know we're not putting forth our best effort or whatever's going on. They might have something on our minds. Losing is frustrating. It is. And I know the most overrated line in sports, in my opinion, is I hate losing. Of course, who likes it? But when you're going through that, it can be, especially when there were so many games they should have won, like the Patriots game they should have won, the Jets game they should have won, and then most recently the Dolphins game they should have won. I just go back and I just wish to goodness Kenny Pickett would have ran instead of throwing that ball, but he's a kid. He's learning. But still, I just wish we could get the DeLorean, just go back in time, like, just run.
You know? Yeah, if we're talking about this team, instead of being 2-6, they're 4-4 and something like that. This is a completely different conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that Patriots game that should have been a win. Even the Browns game could have been a win.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So I think this bye came at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. And I think no matter what, I think they're going to regroup and do. And also, oh, by the way, they get TJ Watt back. Who's going to be, yeah, who's going to be? I think he's just, well, I think he's going to change the defense completely. And yeah. I think it's absolutely crazy that one guy, and yes, he is one of the best players in the league, but one guy basically is going to make everything better on that defense.
Yes, I agree. And think of, like, in history, all the players, I mean, all the teams that were impacted by one good defensive player. I mean, look at when Dick Butkus played, and look at when Ray Nitschke played. But, they had a few on that team. Look at the Steelers with Joe Green, Jack, and then when he moved on, it was Jack Lambert, you know. But then they played together. And then look at Ray Lewis with the Ravens. Oh, don't tell him that. Brian Urlacher with the Bears. That one player that could just make a difference.
Even now, take away on the Cowboys. What's this kid? The kid from Penn State. Now I'm drawing a blank. Anyway, he's really good. You take away, you know, people are criticizing the Steelers. It's like, oh, this is such a highly paid defense and it's nothing. I was like, yeah, well, you take away the best player from any team and they're not going to do as well. So I think TJ Watt is just going to, he's going to help. I'm really excited to see how Alex Highsmith is going to, because I think he's been having a good year. Mm-hmm. And now that there's going to be all the attention on TJ Watt, I think Alex Highsmith is going to have a really big second half.
Yeah, I believe that. And I'd like to see Malik Reed also do the same, and then see what the line does. Like, you know, Cam has always been one to get his, I guess you could say, 10 sacks. He had 10 last year. And get those sacks coming off the line, as well as all the other linemen. I mean, you have the Marvin Leal, and you have, oh my goodness, why am I forgetting the defensive lineman on the team?
Yeah, Larry Ogunjobi. That's who I'm really. I hope he's okay.
Yeah, hope he's okay. Yeah,
I think if Larry Ogunjobi is okay and playing well, then you have that situation that you had in week one in Cincinnati, where that defense was just wreaking havoc.
Yeah, and that was incredible.
I think that could be really special. And then it doesn't really matter how bad the cornerbacks are, because the quarterback is going to be running for his life.
Right.
And he doesn't have to worry about throwing the ball, because he can't even throw it. So
you're right.
We'll see.
So that's Micah Parsons you were talking about.
Micah Parsons. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's incredible. He really is. I mean, then look at the Cowboys. Unbelievable. Who would have thought that?
He would have thought it, and it's mostly because of Micah Parsons. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, they were even winning with Cooper Rush, for goodness sake.
For sure. And it just, what is that a reminder of? You know, just the fact that it really takes a team. I mean, you have all your parts, you know, one body, many parts, as the Bible says, but everybody knows their parts. Everybody knows their role. And when you do that, then you have these teams that are contending, you know? That they just fit right in.
Wow.
And Micah Parsons came in and did what he had to do. Cooper Rush came in and did what he had to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah, he fit perfectly, and he knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And it was a well run team that was a well-run unit that was working well, which is the exact opposite of what the Steelers offense is.
Yeah.
It is a dysfunctional mess.
It is.
And everybody wants to say it's because of Matt Canada. Mm-hmm. It can't be just because of that. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. But when you have Kenny Pickett saying stuff like, well, we don't study enough and we're not prepared enough or something like that. It's like, that's a little.
It speaks for itself.
That's a little scary. Like, if they're saying it in public, something's really wrong. There must be something really wrong with that.
And that's what losing can do. Frustration can just bring, it just brings it all out. You're trying to be discreet, trying to be subtle, but, you know, it's easy to just really say that. And it's no coincidence that every person that has a microphone in their face on offense has said something about the offensive play, the game plan. that has to get the attention of the front office. It has to. And I mean, obviously it does. I mean, they're only sharing, you know, to everybody. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but something's wrong. I mean, for him not to, for the field to not get stretched on a regular basis, and this is coming off a future Hall of Fame quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, that was known for doing it, you know, and even though the last 2 years, but still, and my wife even said this too, if Ben was still quarterbacking this year, they would be 4-4. I believe. Oh,
definitely. Yeah. Definitely. He would have pulled some of those games out, but whether this is true or not, it sure seems like last year Ben just said, forget this Matt Canada stuff. I'm just going to run my own plays.
I think he kind of did admit it though.
Yeah.
I think he kind of did. Yeah. I mean, I won't say it sounded like it I saw a quote on Twitter. I guess whether it was on his podcast or not, it sounded like he was basically saying, hey, I had my moments where I just did what I felt like I needed to do. So like I say, it sounded like it, but
yeah.
I'm not going to put words in his mouth though.
Yeah. But you know, everybody is saying, well, fire Matt Canada, fire. I mean, even today the Colts fired their offensive coordinator. And that guy didn't even do anything. I guess Frank, right. Wow. The coach was calling the plays, but still, that's just not how the Steelers do things. They're not going to announce it. If they do anything, they'll make changes internally, and they're not going to say, yeah, he's out of here. Yeah, that's just not how they run. So sorry, everybody that thinks that, you know, sorry, the entire, you know, Steelers mob that wants it done. It's not happening.
Waiting. I made a joke on Facebook, and I actually put it on Twitter too.
I saw that.
By Lionel Richie. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. So, it'll be interesting to see, but something needs to be changed. I mean, what is the definition of insanity? You know, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. And it's not working. If the goal for the Pittsburgh Steelers is to always live up to their legacy of competing for a championship, right now, the season was over, they probably get the number, fourth pick in the draft. So I'm thinking maybe... factually, they need, something has to change when they get ready to host New Orleans in a couple of weeks. They need this because it's just not good. It's not good at all. And, you know, I don't like seeing them like that. I know you don't like seeing them like that. And it's just not, we're not used to that, man. We're not used to this, you know?
Another big problem with that offense is Najee Harris.
Yeah.
Something is wrong with the guy. He is just not, he's just not himself. I don't know if he's in his head. I don't know if it's an injury. I just hope he takes a break and just figures some things out. Cause he is just not what he's supposed to be. It's not. Sad.
It's not. I was in training camp when it looked like either he must have just had his foot stepped on, as it was dismissed to be. And then I heard some other things too, but he does not look like the same guy that rushed for 1,200 yards last year. And one play in particular was on Sunday when Pickett threw him the ball on a screen. It was like an easy first down. The next thing you know,
he's dancing.
Like, yeah.
There was nobody in front of him between him and the first down, but he started dancing for some reason. He's so used to you know, being attacked, you know, immediately. So
So it is something wrong. And you know, and of course you have some of the fans trying to say, well, he should have been traded. I'm like, yeah, okay. Next question. And number two. And with respect to undrafted free agent Jaylen Warren, he's doing what he's supposed to do, but he's not the starter. It's Harris, but I think maybe Harris does need to sit. And I think he is injured. So I think he just needs to heal. I think he needs to heal up. They need to just, like you said, give him a break, just chill out, and just go from there. But you know, forcing him out there, especially with the line still not being 100%. I mean, this honestly, and this is just my opinion, this honestly is probably one of the worst offensive lines I've seen in my lifetime of watching the Steelers.
Hi, Darren.
Hey, guys. Lifetime. How are you?
Hey, Darren. Sorry about how are you, sir?
Good, Roy. How are you, Ray?
No complaints, man. No complaints at all, man. Hey, he was like, you can get out there and play some ball, man. Put you on the line, man.
Well, they didn't get a lineman today, did they? Which is what they really needed.
No, they didn't, you know. And, you know, we were just talking about I just spoke about the offensive line and how, honestly, just in my opinion, and I've lived on this earth for 50 years, and I've been watching the Steelers since 79. I was fortunate to see that four Super Bowls as a seven-year-old. I just not seen, a worse offensive line than this one right now. And 03, they had their moments. They had a bad offensive line in 03, too. But it was something about this. It seemed like there's just no synergy. There's no fundamentals. I mean, what's the type of penalties they've been getting? That formation penalty or whatever it's called?
Well,
that
several is, times. Several times.
It is an absolute it's sad and pathetic how many formation penalties they get and illegal formation and stuff like that. It's unacceptable, and we're halfway into the season and they're still getting them. That's ridiculous.
I mean, that's what messed them up against Miami too. I mean, the first drive that Pickett had them in the red zone, I'm convinced they're about to score. Then you had a one formation penalty. Actually, it was on the receiver, number 13. Yeah. And then next thing you know, Dan Moore, who gets his game week by week penalty for that same thing. Next thing you know, they're like 3rd and 20. So it's just stuff like that that's hurting them too. You know,
yeah, you know, it just seems like to me, are we recording now, Joe? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
So I'm sorry. It does seem to me to like, you know, one of the things I saw at the end of that game was the intensity of the Claypool, and some of the guys were showing like they were just sick of everything.
Yeah.
That's the kind of playing I saw. They were fed up, you know, and that's why you're thinking, well, your guys are getting crushed by the Eagles right now. And they actually started playing with some of the intensity that you wish they would have played up from the very beginning. And, you know, I just think, you know, you don't want to say the sky is falling at this point, guys, but it's kind of starting to cave in. I think the locker room is kind of lost. There's not much continuity. There's not much, you know, flow. Joe, to your point, I mean, how many of these illegal formations? And this is stuff you get through camp and you expect to see week 1, 2, and 3. By then you've ironed it out and now we're kind of sailing through. Right. And we're still stumbling over ourselves. They're still just making plays. They're not opening the right holes for Najee. And to their defense, Najee's not hitting the right holes. So, I mean, it's bad communication everywhere. And to me, it's just – that's why I say it's kind of chaotic and chaos. You know, obviously, I think the right thing to do in the offseason was to bring in an offensive lineman, to your point, Ray. They could have done that today. Instead, they're bringing in William Jackson.
yeah, but who's no, there's almost no team that says, wow, we have too many good offensive linemen. We got to get rid of one of these guys. Nobody's doing that. That's like either a free agency thing or a draft thing. But I don't think.
Well, and the young guy, the Bears draft, his name's escaping me, but he's starting as a guard. He's actually not playing very bad. And he was a 7th round pick. Who did the Steelers pick? They picked a quarterback. A quarterback
who didn't even make the team.
You know, and you can sit here. Well, come on, guys, we're really kicking around a 7th round pick, but I don't know. I just don't. I don't know. And Chase Claypool. I'm coming in late to the call, so I'm not sure exactly what you covered. I apologize for that. There, fandom, and Joey Bag of Donuts Land.
Yeah, what do you think about the Claypool trade?
You know, he's a talent. I just always have felt he didn't play up to his size and capability. You know, he's got everything you want. I mean, there's 4 things you want from a receiver, right? A guy that can run a route. He can do that. Check that box. He's got the size. Check that box. He's got the speed. He's got the physicality. And he just hasn't seemed to ever bring that together. And other than the 4-touchdown game against the Eagles last year, which was fantastic, you thought, here it is. This is what we've been waiting for. And it just has never come to fruition. But he is a guy, I will say, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if down the road he develops into something and becomes a good receiver. Fields needs him right now in the worst way out there in Chicago, and that might be the right marriage. I kind of think about it like Plex, you know, seeing Plex go was Plex had a lot of drama too. Yeah. But, you know, Plex ended up being a key player for the Giants for a while, and Claypool might be that there too. It's just hard to see the point in it right now why send him away now? Why now? So now you're limiting Kenny again with some of his tools. And Kenny didn't have a great, great game. Obviously for the last two games, his passer rating was 5.9 over passes of 10 yards in the air or longer on Sunday. Horrible passer rating, so that's not even developing the way we want to see it. So now you take away Claypool and the guy they brought in, he's a guy Tomlin wanted him. I don't know if you guys remember much about this guy.
Yeah,
we were just talking about that. That was the guy they wanted. That the Bengals swooped in and got, and they end up with Artie Burns.
Yeah, we got Artie Burns, and now this guy. What's good about him is he's great in man-to-man coverage. He's not great in press coverage. He doesn't have the body for it. He also gets a lot of penalties because he gets put in press coverage and he's a grabber. So in man coverage, he really could be a great depth add. So we'll have to see, but. He played on a lot of bad Bengals defenses, so I have optimism for him if he's used to what he's capable of doing. That's man coverage, which he's very good at.
Yeah, I have a Bengals friend who is a Bengals fan, and as soon as the trade was made, he was like, I'm telling you now, this is not a good deal. I told him, I said, hey, the Steelers saw something in them, so we're going to hope for the best.
they saw something, and they saw what they already had, and Akello Witherspoon just getting burnt like toast. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, let's bring some competition here. Maybe just see, in practice who works out better between Witherspoon and William Jackson. I don't know.
Right.
But, nothing will get you replaced in a depth chart like giving up three touchdowns to a guy on a Sunday afternoon.
And two of them in the same corner.
Oh,
it was bad.
So we'll see. And The funny thing is, if the Steelers go on like some kind of win streak, people are going to be mad. People are actually going to be rooting for them to lose. It's like, what are you doing? You're ruining our draft position.
The frustrating part about it, Joe. I mean, the AFC North is kind of wide open.
It is.
After last night, there's nobody running away with this. Baltimore, as of tonight, is probably the best team. But, they could drop three in a row easily. So. It's like if there's a time where we could be mediocre and probably still grab the division, it would be now. But we're not even mediocre.
You're right, Darren. And the thing about it is, it starts with wins. You got to win, especially now that it's the second half of the season. It's like in November, which number one, I can't believe it is November. But it's like now it's about as crunch time as you can get. You don't want to lose anymore because if you lose like nine. Three more games, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much a wrap. Eight is risky enough, but you don't want to lose nine games, even if you got a 17th game, So it's really about as put up or shut up right now for Pittsburgh as ever.
I just don't see a six-game winning streak coming from this team.
That would be a miracle.
The only way that would happen is if the defense starts scoring some touchdowns because they ain't coming from the offense. But still, if the defense with TJ Watt becomes so good that they limit teams to like 10 points a game or something like that, and then we win games like 12-10 or something like that.
We'll take it.
I don't see hope for this offense, and it's just. I mean, yes, Kenny Pickett hopefully will get better and Najee hopefully will get better, but I don't know. Yeah.
Joe, you said it in the last couple of podcasts. We're spoiled as Steelers fans. I think there's probably still a good amount of us Yinzers out there thinking, hey, after this bye week and that, we're going to get out there. We're going to win 8 of the next 9. We can do it.
Right.
over the last couple of years, we found a way to do that. It's just this team, not this year. Sunday's proof of it. That Eagles team was just superior to us in every way on that field. In the past, we would have found a way to keep that close, maybe possibly pull an upside or even win the game outright. This team just doesn't have it. You watch NFL Red Zone, you're looking like the Lions. You're looking like, the Texans. They just don't have it right now.
Yeah.
They just don't have it. And I think you're right, Joe. I think the best thing to really hope for now is watch Pickett develop, see if he can get some charisma and some communication going with Deontay Johnson, with Pickens, get Najee a little bit better, and then maybe, yeah, finish out the season respectable. But I just don't think, you know, there's no playoffs within reach. I don't see it.
One thing for sure, I could even put a Joe Namath guarantee in it. There's no way this planet they're losing that game on December 24th. I just don't believe it.
Against the Raiders.
Yeah, and honoring the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception and everything that's happening with that. And wearing the throwback uniforms, which really isn't much for Pittsburgh because they haven't changed the uniform, but they tend to rise up in games like that. You know, they retire Franco Harris's number two.
They do. I remember, what was it? I think it was like the 3,000th game or something like that. They played the Rams. It was when Mark Bulger was their quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
And they came in and cleaned our clock because I took my dad to that game. I mean, they had like everybody from the Steelers past possible at that game. That was one of the few games I remember. But for the most part, to your point, Ray, I think you're right. They generally come out in games like that. And maybe that's what they need is Jack Lambert or somebody in there, you know, firing them up, because it looked to me like they were firing themselves up Sunday, like getting into it a little bit. And it was kind of like you liked seeing that, but it was a little bit too late.
A little bit too late.
And, you know, who knows? Who do they have after the bye week, Joe? I'm embarrassed. I don't see them.
Okay, so the next game is home to the Saints, then home to the Bengals, then at the Colts, then at the Falcons, then home to the Ravens, and then at the Panthers, and then the Raiders game on the 24th.
Yeah. That Saints defense just shut out this week, and they shut out Arizona, I believe. And I mean,
they shut them out. Like, I mean, wow,
they looked solid. That defense is good, although it is roller coaster. You catch one in the wrong week, you can beat them.
But well, jokes on you, Saints defense. We suck on our own, so we don't need you to stop us,
yes,
because we can stop ourselves. So, there,
that's right,
self infliction.
But yeah, Andy Dalton and the Saints.
We can't lose to Andy Dalton, for goodness.
At least they know him well.
I think that Colts game could be winnable in the Panthers game. Yeah. And honestly, right now, the way the Bengals looked last night, call me crazy, but the Bengals game might be winnable, especially if Watt's back.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny? Like, Watt comes back. He left, you know, destroying the Bengals single-handedly. He comes back and destroys them again.
Joe Burrow's like, what? Hey, you again? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. We took care of you.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Well, the Bengals, I mean, we were talking about how bad the Steelers are because they're losing their best player. And what happens if other teams lose their best player? Look at the Bengals without Jamar Chase. My goodness. They were a disaster. Like, there's a lot of talent on that team and they looked horrible. Yeah. That's another thing that Zach Taylor, that coach of the Bengals, he sucks. He's going to ride the coattails of being in the Super Bowl, but that's really not a good coach. But
anyway. Unless they totally tank this year, he'll have next year to turn it around.
Yeah.
But I think if they go like this next year, he might not even make it through midseason if they're 4-4 next year. Because yeah, I mean, you hate to admit it, but Joe Burrow's in my mind he's amazing, and
he's a great quarterback.
He's a franchise. They could go win a Super Bowl or two with that kid, and they got to build around it right, or they're gonna blow that shot. So,
for sure.
I just hope one thing I heard. I think this is from Jerry Dulac. He said something about Matt Canada when he makes the game plan. He just does it by himself. He's not working with any coaches. He's not getting any input from him. He just does it all himself. Wow. Like, just hearing, I think he said today, like, I was like, I think I'm doing a great job or something like that. Like, the arrogance on this dude is ridiculous. I don't know if somebody needs to smack him or what, but
was that you, Joe, that shared that still shot of him like this up in the booth?
No,
it was priceless. He just looked. You can't tell me that, guys. I think there was a 3rd and 10 or 3rd and 9, and they did a little bubble pass over to Deontay Johnson. And it's just like, come on. I mean, None of the three of us are not going to sit here and pretend that we can outcoach an NFL. I get that. But I think the average fan sitting at home or sitting in Heinz Field or wherever you may have been Sunday would know that you've got to get to the middle of the field. It's like they avoid the middle of the field. Yeah. Like the 46 or the 86 Bears are out there waiting for them.
Right.
Like, yeah. What is there something there? There can't be something there that's preventing you from doing it. I mean, get the ball downfield. Pickett's obviously capable of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff is just, yeah.
Not enough vertical motion at all.
I think this second half, I'm actually excited now. Just not because I don't think they're gonna win, but I just want to see what's gonna happen. Like, are we really like it? Can't this offense can't get any worse? Or
right?
And I don't know. One thing that's kind of scary is
I don't know either.
I hope that Matt Canada doesn't ruin Kenny Pickett.
Right.
You know, like Najee got, he seems to develop into some bad habits because of how bad last year was. I hope Kenny Pickett isn't developing into some bad habits because of how bad this year is. I don't know.
I hope not either. And I, you know, he's a kid, he's a rookie, but the way he played last year for Pitt, I mean, everything about him. I mean, I cover Pitt too, and I've watched Kenny play his entire career, and it just blew me away, and I was very impressed. I'm sure everybody else was. I'm sure you both were too.
Yeah, it's definitely there. He's, you know, you talk that's a good point, Ray. You know, you talk about Joe Burrow's, I think you see the same things in Pickett, and obviously, yeah, he's a Pittsburgh kid, you know, or he's a Pitt kid, and you know, there's that connection. But if you even took that away, if you brought him in from TCU, it's all still there. It's all there. The package is there. But if you're going to get, you got a second round pick today, right off of Chayton Claypool, more than ever going forward, they got to make the best of what they have over the next 2 to 3 years. They have a small window here to get this rebuilt and redone. Now, I believe Khan came in, Ray, in May. So he hasn't really had a chance to tackle a draft by himself.
Right. Right. So this will be his first one. Yeah.
So that would be interesting too, Joe. Second half of the year, what's he thinking? What's the offseason look like? So there's got to be some hope on the horizon. That's what it is, sadly.
I'm almost certain Kevin Colbert would not have traded Chase Claypool today or got in Jackson. I have a feeling that Omar Khan does things differently and he's not afraid to make moves. And if that's the case, cool. I'm excited to see what he's going to do next year in free agency and next year in the draft. just some, you know, a different approach. Kevin Colbert was great, but still a different approach, a new exciting approach. I like that. So,
yeah, and because I think that's what it needs. If Tomlin's to persevere and maybe prove some of his naysayers wrong, I think this is the time. I mean, okay, everybody has their lows. We have lows in life. We have lows in sports. He's at a low right now. He's frustrated. You can tell he is.
Yeah.
Maybe this is his time to turn it around. Because if he can turn this around from whatever they're going to finish and get them back into, like, Super Bowl contention, you know, in the next, let's say, 2 to 4 years, then you got to kind of shut up and say, yeah, Tomlin's a darn
good. He's basically a king at that point. If he could get them back, and likewise, if he can't, we're in year two of a rebuild, and I believe that rebuild, if I'm guessing, that rebuild will conclude next year. Next year will be the last year of the rebuild. It's like, okay, we're gonna get our final pieces of the puzzle. We're going to get an offensive line and maybe some cornerbacks and maybe some defensive line. I don't know what, but still, I think next year is the last year of the rebuild. But after that, it's like, okay, now it's time to put up or shut up. If this team continues to stink, then unfortunately, I think Tomlin, you know, he'll used up all of his goodwill.
You know, I was thinking something, like you were saying, Joe, about how differently Omar Khan does things. So does that mean that maybe in a couple of days he might do something a little different too?
With what, Matt Canada or what?
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They are kind of getting into this unprecedented area here. I mean, you know, the move with Minka a couple years ago, moving up to get Devin Bush, those are things you never used to see the Steelers do.
Right.
So I agree, Ray. Now, you know, now Khan, I mean, it could be, you're right. He could make moves that we never have seen before that we're just not used to, but that's what you need. I mean, I keep thinking back of the Kansas City Chiefs a year before Mahomes took them to the Super Bowl. That offensive line was putrid, and it's the big reason they didn't go. They totally revamped that entire offensive line. They revamped everything about it. So I'm with you, Joe. You get some free agency, you draft, whatever it needs to do, mm-hmm. and you need the guy that's willing to, A, pull the trigger, but pull the trigger in a smart way. And that's where our faith has got to lie right now, is that Khan will do both of those things.
Yeah. We'll see. Now I'm excited. I was really depressed about this, about this team. And now, because all we've heard, and you know, we talked about the spoiled fan base. My goodness. What if you're a fan of Jacksonville or something like that? Like, we couldn't, like we haven't even had a losing season in forever.
Right.
What do you think they are like? What do you think fans of the Browns are like that are stuff? You know, the Bills were bad for 20 years. You know, mm-hmm. it's come on, people. This happens.
Mm-hmm. It does happen. And it's, you know, it's a perspective to keep. It's not easy because that's your thing, you know, as fans. It is, you know, it is sad, but I mean, it's not the end of the world, though. They have to still get up and work. And like Darren said, you know, you have lows in life. You have lows and challenges in your profession, too. And, you know, this is a test. Now the question is, how are they going to respond?
Rocky Balboa said, it's not how many times you get hit, it's how many times you get up. Let's see if the Steelers can get up.
Right, and you have to learn to take the hits. See, Rocky's my dude. I'm a Rocky fan.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually, yeah, for sure. And I think you're right, Joe. I mean, bye week, get rested up here, and then let's see what the second half of the season gels like. I mean, I think the best thing we can hope for is they go into that last week of season against the Browns, you know, making some big plays, being close in games, and building into next year, not getting pasted 38-3.
Right. Yeah. Remember a time, and you know, in our lifetime, well, I could even say in my lifetime, where Cleveland wasn't even allowed to beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh in the old Three River Stadium days. So
I think it was the David Marinus book, and he did the biography on Chuck Knoll, and then the NFL Network had him on when they did the Chuck Knoll biography, and I found it funny. Chuck, he mentions it in the book, and they do it in that in the NFL biography on the NFL Network, where Chuck Knoll talks about how great they were in the 70s. And when things started, like you were talking about when I jumped on about the late 70s, when the early 80s started coming, he told his wife, you know how we had all those great years. Prepare yourself. We're going to have some down years.
Didn't he? Yeah, he certainly did say that. I saw that interview too. You are so right.
Yeah. And you know, I mean, that's just the way it is. So, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, someone said, would you compare this year to Chuck Knoll's last year? And Chuck Knoll's last year was, I believe, the year where that they started out 51-0 loss to the Browns.
42-10.
No, you know what? His last year in 91, they finished 7-9.
Okay. Yeah. So that was the second to last year. No, wait. No, actually, the third. That was 89 when that happened. Okay. So that, okay.
Yeah. When they beat the Oilers in Houston and looked like Danville's face, that was priceless.
That's what we need. We need coaches want to fight each other, because Chuck Knoll definitely wanted to knock out Jerry Glanville.
He told him. He was
he grabbed him at one point. Jerry Glanville was like, good game. I'm like, you son of a
bitch. Yeah, he said, you're going to get your tail kicked if you keep playing it. Like, yeah.
And then he said, I mean that. Yeah.
Steelers-Oilers was a nasty rivalry, man. They would try to hurt each other.
It was hilarious. Yes. And what is it? The House of Pain, Astrodome. House of Pain.
Astrodome, yeah.
Hey, you know what stands out in that final year for Chuck Knoll? That's when he made the quarterback switch.
Switch
from Bubby.
Bubby.
To Neil O'Donnell. Stayed with him, and that's when they played that Houston game that y'all talking about, when he pointed his finger at Glanville, and he and O'Donnell was struggling. He asked Bubby to come back in, and Bubby said, I don't
mop up for anybody.
Anybody, right? You know where I was at when that happened? I can't believe I still remember it. freshman in college on Pitt's campus, and we were I was watching it in my neighbor's room. Couldn't believe it, man. How do I remember that? I have no idea.
I remember exactly where I was when they lost in the AFC Championship game to the Chargers.
Oh gosh, yes, I was in my
dorm room, and my girlfriend was sleeping, so I had to be quiet. And I had
what campus?
It was actually on Pitt campus. Yeah.
What? How we be on Pitt's campus at the same time and we didn't know each other? I was on Pitt's campus then too.
we probably passed by each other a bunch of times.
You obviously didn't tell Ray that I was on another campus that shall not.
He was on Penn State.
Oh, you was on Penn State's campus, but you know what? I had a lot of good friends. So they were around you and you was around them. So that's great, man. That's really great. That's a beautiful campus up there too.
Oh yeah, it really is. They've done a great job, and I tell Joe I'm one of the few Penn State fans who outrightly root for Pitt, and I still say going to Penn State games, even in the early 80s with my dad. I still remember, and I still say this, the best guard I've ever seen play football in my life was Bill Frelick. I've never seen anybody like that in my life. And what a kind guy he was.
Very generous.
Just probably one of my five favorite people I've ever met professional athlete wise in my life. And I loved him.
So I'm from Penn Hills. I grew up in Penn Hills, and Bill Frelick is like a god there. Mm-hmm. And I was too young when he was playing, but still it's like a thing of pride. And now it's funny that the thing of pride of Penn Hills is Aaron Donald, but back then it was like, I came from the same place that Bill Frelick came from. That was, he was maybe one of the greatest offensive linemen ever.
I mean, when I was in high school, mm-hmm. Buddy Morris, who was the strength coach at Pitt then,
yeah,
he came to us because we had a hospital locally that helped his daughter with something that was going on. So he ended up being our strength coach for his 2 years. But he came out, you know how Bill Frelick got to be Bill Frelick? And he had two cars parked in our track, and we had to push cars.
Push cars.
Really? I mean, that's awesome. I love that. That's a great story, man. Yeah, I like that, man.
Buddy Morris. Funny. And if you Google Buddy Morris now, he's like 70, and he looks like he could pretty much, you know, put a brick or a car through a wall. He's huge.
That's so cool, man. That's great. And see, right, guys. That impact, you'll never forget it. I think about what Bill Frelick did when he put some money into the facilities up there at Penn Hills. Yeah. Looking at the stadium, look at the training room and everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, mm-hmm. full circle, we come around to this, right? When I jumped on, you guys were talking about the offensive line. And I think since they lost, I'm drawing my mind blank, the offensive line coach that left.
Oh, Mike Munchak.
Munchak.
They just haven't been that cohesive unit. And mm-hmm. that's where I think the talent's on the field. I think that frustrates us as fans or reporters, whatever you want to call it. Is that you can see there's greatness there. There's the ability there. And it's all over the place. I mean, it's everywhere.
It's a young team. It's a young unit, and there's no late leaders to step up. Mm-hmm. And you know, and they're trying. Cam Hayward is trying, but you know, there's only so much you could do. But there's nobody on the offense. They're all just too young or something. And it's gonna be real interesting to see how that develops in the second half of the season, if it develops.
Hopefully with TJ coming back, it has to give them the spark that they've missed since week one.
Yeah, if there's a guy that's going to ignite some fire on you, that's a guy.
I think that's huge. I think when he comes back, I think they're all going to have that spark and that hope we could start winning games. So and that's huge. Sometimes mentally that's the most important thing. So
that's true.
We will see. All right, guys. This was fun.
It was.
Let's do it again. Ray, it's been a pleasure. I've always wanted
to. Likewise, man. Love the house too, man.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that. Thanks, Joe.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you.
Take care.
Have a good evening.